Praise the Lord. So our theme is go therefore. Go therefore. Let's all open our mouth and say that. Go therefore. Put your hand on your chest and say, go therefore. And turn to your right and tell your neighbor, go therefore. Turn to your left and talk to your neighbor, go therefore. Yes, we have been commanded to go. Our text is taken from Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. We are going to read it together. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Let's read, ready, go. Jesus came up and said to them, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. Amen? So this is a command. It's not a plea. It's not, please, I am begging you. Do you mind going? He said, go therefore. Go therefore. And before he said that, he said, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Based on that, go therefore. Amen? And what are you supposed to do? Go and teach and help people to learn of me. Let them hear about what I did for them. How I sacrificed my life for theirs, to forgive them, to wash them away from all their sins, so that they will be able to learn and believe in me and obey my words. And he assured us that he will always be with us. Remaining, if you're doubting if God is ever with you, this is an assurance from him. He said, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, to the end of the age. That is an assurance from the Father. And the reason this is so crucial is because John 3:16 said, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten son, his unique son. God is so crazy about human beings that he created. He's madly in love with people. And that's why he gave up his only begotten son to be the sacrificial lamb, to take our place of sin, to give us his place of righteousness. And he said in verse 17 of John chapter 3, let's read that together, ready, go. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. Amen? God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. Please, can I get a flyer, please? He didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Because he already understands that they don't know what they are doing. He already understands that they can't help themselves. And that's why he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to help man, not to condemn man, not to criticize man, not to reject man, but to help man. Amen? So that being the case, we that have heard this gospel truth and we have given our lives to Jesus, we have been commissioned to do that. We are the ones that have been assigned to do that. So your life of flourishing is so very crucial in this business of the kingdom, because you can't be on your back on your sick bed going therefore, can you? You cannot. And if you are hungry, you won't be able to do justice to this go therefore. So the Father understands this, and that is why he said, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That you might prosper and be in health, which means financially he wants you to be buoyant, and at the same time he wants you to enjoy good health So good health is a portion for everyone the Father has called into this business. Sickness is not our portion. It's not our lot at all. He hasn't given that to us. That's why the day he saved you, he said that, I am the Lord that healed. He said, by my stripes you were not going to. It's a past tense. It's a done deal, just as your salvation is a done deal. If you have ever said yes to Jesus, know that he at the same time also gave you good health. Healing is spiritual. And if you receive the Spirit of Christ in you, you also receive good health. Amen? So the Father expects and wants you to flourish all round. But we must have to learn how to apply the things that he has given us to our advantage, to our benefit. That's why he said that he gave us his Spirit, that we might be able to know and appreciate and realize all the things that he has packaged for us. That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, verse 12. And he said, you have the mind of Christ. So it means you are able to know what God wants you to know, and you're able to respond to it because he has given you the Spirit. God gave you the Spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, so that you'll be able to have sound mind, the ability to know the right thing to do, when to do it, how to carry it out. But all of these things are dependent upon that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And I thank God that that's what the church has been teaching us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. We're going to read that together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. Ready, go. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. God expects you to live by his power. He has given you, he said, that's why he said that the all authority, the absolute rule has been given to him. He said, go therefore, because I'm giving you all that too. Amen? We are supposed to live in power, in dominion. That's to live. Remember Jesus, when the 4,000 were hungry, what did he do? He just lifted up how many fish and how many bread, prayed over it, and that fed them, and there was a much remaining. The same thing goes for the 5,000. When he needed to pay tax, he just directed Peter on what to do. It's the same Spirit that is in you, that is all of us that have been born again. The Spirit of Christ is joined spirit with your spirit, bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And if you're a child of God, as he is, so are you in this life. Praise the Lord. But you get to know that through the word of God. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, 18 to 20. So which means that God expects you to live in power. And the authority we have is like that of the policeman, the traffic warden. When they stand, once they do hand like this, what do? Even though your vehicle can run down that person and crush that person to pieces, because you recognize the authority that they have. What if they don't know what authority they have, and they just say, this vehicle is coming, and they are running off? You just zoom, because they don't know their right. That's what happens. And I thank God for our believers meeting. In fact, I think it's 2/3 of it is the young adults. And the revelation that God is pouring into the lives of these, our young adults, it's amazing. That we, the older ones, were just sitting down and we're just being blessed. One of them said that you can be a child of a king, but you live like a pauper, even in the house of your father, because of ignorance or because of not knowing how to apply your rights and privileges to your benefit. Praise the Lord. That's over, because we are moving in the right direction. It's a new day for all of us. 1 John chapter 5, 18 to 20. Let's read, ready, go. We know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. Let's read that slowly now. But the one who was begotten of God, who is the one that was begotten of God? Jesus Christ. But the one who, let's continue. But the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil. And the wicked one does not lay hold, get a grip on him, or touch him. Before we continue, you see, There's a spirit in you, the spirit of excellence. The spirit of God lives in everyone that has genuinely from your heart believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that spirit is there to direct you, to guide you. That's what we are reading. Verse 19. We know positively that we are of God, and the world around us is under the power of the evil one. The world around us is under what? They are still under the control of Satan because they don't know, they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them to guide and to direct them. 20. And we have seen and know positively that the Son of God has actually come to this world and has given us understanding and insight progressively to perceive, recognize, and come to know better and more clearly Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This man is the true God and life eternal. So we can see here that the Spirit of God is there in every child of God. But the world, those that have not yet had the good news and they have not yet known Him, they don't have this same spirit in them. So they are just under the control of the enemy. Whatever he tells them to do, that's why if it feels good, do it. Oh yeah, do this. They just keep on following. They don't know how to judge. Is this the Spirit of God or is not? Because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. They still lie under the control of the wicked one. And that's why the Father wants you and I to go, to help them. We that are now in the light should go and help them. Let's read Jude 24. I will quickly read that. So Jude 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling into sin and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless in the presence of his glory with triumphant joy and unspeakable delight. That is, but God keeps you. Remember the Bible says we are kept by the power of God. He's able to keep you child of God. But he keeps you through his word by directing you by his word. And that is why that intimacy with the Holy Spirit is very important. Let's also read, I want us to read together, 1 John chapter 2, 20, 27. 1 John 2, 20, 27. Ready, go. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by who? By the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because he teaches you, illuminates our minds, and guards us from error. 27. As for you, the anointing, the special gifts, the preparation which you receive from him remains permanently in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But just as his anointing teaches you, giving you insight through the presence of the Holy Spirit about all things, and is true, and it's not a lie, and just as the anointing has taught you, you must remain in him, being rooted in him, knit to him. Amen? He said you have the anointing in you, and you know all things. What is that anointing in you? The Holy Spirit of Christ that is in you. The Spirit of the living God that is in you. And that Spirit is, they say, the special gifted. You're specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. How does he do it? The Word of God is the Spirit. So as you're hearing the Word of God, as you fellowship with the Word of God keep on teaching you, is the boundary within which you live your life so that you make sure that you live well and you live good. And you really enjoy all that the Father has packaged for you. And he said that as that anointing is teaching you, even as I'm preaching now, it has to be what he's telling you. He's the one that will give you the rhema. It doesn't come from me. But we are all hearing the word of God. As we gather here each time and we are hearing the word of God, or as you're fellowshipping with the word of God and you're hearing the word of God, please, can we use a table? This is blowing on my leg. I don't want it on my legs. Praise the Lord. As we are hearing the word of God, the Holy Spirit is the one that is teaching you. He's the one that is guiding you. He's the one that is directing you. So those of us that are born again that are here, we have come back to the shepherd of our soul. And that's why we are privileged to have the Spirit of Christ. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, 25, that we have come, that we wandered away, but today we have come back to the shepherd of our soul. You know, our soul is not saved. It's only your spirit that is born again. But that shepherd of your soul keeps teaching your spirit, and your spirit has to grow in to dominate your flesh so that it directs your soul what to do, so that your soul will be saved for every challenge that comes your way. Your soul is saved as you are lining up with how your spirit is directing you to live your life. But those that are not born again, they don't have the spirit of Christ, so they are still wandered away, and they are still under the control of the wicked one. And that is why the Father wants all of us to go. The day we received Jesus, there was a divine exchange that took place, and we took his place of sin, and he gave us his place of righteousness. And automatically, we came in right standing with the Father, and all that belonged to Jesus automatically became ours, and all that belonged to him, all that the Father has, becomes our own. But then we assess these things by help of the Holy Spirit as we keep on fellowshipping with the Word of God. They are still under the control of Satan. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And Jesus is the sacrificial lamb, which you must have to come under before you can become a child of God. You don't become a child of God by going to church or by carrying the Father's Bible. Those of you that are parents, like I said, you know, on Thursday, there is no amount of doing that made your children your children. They are your children because they have the DNA of the fathers in the house. If they don't have the DNA of the fathers in the house, they don't belong to him. In the same manner, they have to receive God's DNA. And God's DNA is the spirit of Christ according to Romans 8 verse 9b. And there's a way to receive that spirit of Christ. You must have to hear this good news, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believe and you choose to put your trust in you, that's when you receive the seal, that guarantees that you are a child of God. And that seal is the promised Holy Spirit. Thank God for those of you that joined us yesterday to do that, to do the outreach. We saw how it was. Some of them emphatically rejected, refused. They didn't want to listen. Some listened, some took tracts. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. But we just have to keep at it, keep on giving them an opportunity. I didn't get born again overnight. Different times people preach to us, but at one time we receive this message of God. So we don't give up on them. We just have to keep on going and trusting the Holy Spirit to one day open their eyes to see their need for the Savior, because they need him so that they too might be saved, because that's what the Father wants, so that they might be saved and come under the protection of the Father, under his umbrella of safety. Praise the Lord. The Bible said that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men in Titus 2:11. Yes, it has. Until they choose him and they make him their own, they remain in their sin. Until they choose him and they make him their own, even though the grace has been given, like some people say, everybody is saved. No. But the fact remains that Jesus died for the whole world. But the day you hear this good news and you make it personal and you choose him as your Lord and your Savior, that's when you come under the blood, and that's when you receive the Spirit of Christ in you. Praise the Lord. It's important that we understand this. The grace has been made available, but they need to receive him on a personal basis. So that being the case, that's why you and I that are born again, we must cherish our salvation. We must give God our 100% attention, because that's the most beautiful thing that ever happened to our lives. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, let's read it, verse 21, we must do away with everything that is gunning for the first place in our lives, trying to snuff out that first position that the Father desires the Son to have in your life. Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus is our all in all. So we must give him that preeminence in our life, that superiority. He must have to be number one in every aspect of our lives. 1 John chapter 5, let's read, ready, go. Little children, keep yourselves from idols, false gods, from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart due to God, from any sort of substitute for him that will take first place in your life. Amen. So let it be. Pause. Think of your life. What takes the first place in your life? We all have 24 hours in a day. How many of those 24 hours belong to Jesus? When I talk about 24 hours, no, that is, take out the time that you go to work, because that's what you're supposed to do to earn a living. Your free time. What is the percentage of it that is for Jesus? Anything that takes precedence or that takes the first priority over your life when it comes to your free time has become a god, an idol to you. In other words, anytime you have free time, that's where you're going to. That's what you want to do. Not Jesus. Not his word. But when the chips are down, when challenges of life come, you find out that the Bible said that he that hears these words of mine and does them, that acts on them, is like someone that has built his house on a rock. In other words, you don't, because it's not built on the word, you've not been responding to the word because you don't even have the word in you. The next thing is you quickly pick up your phone, you start calling the pastor, or you start calling somebody else. Yet he said, I will never leave you. You have the one that is the head over the pastor right there and there with you. He's just right there and there with you. But you're going to his servant instead of to him because you don't know the way out, and yet you are a child of God. What are those idols? I remember when we gave our lives to Christ, you know, when we finally moved over to Queen's College, and I kept on hearing the word of God. One day it dawned on me, this thing, this scripture. And I told my husband, all these books we are reading, James Bond, you know, James Harley Chase and all that. See, these things are taking our time. I'm going to burn them. He said, go ahead and burn them. I quickly packed. We had boxes of them. We packed all of them, went down to behind Queen's College. I lit light on them. They got burned. I just burned them. I said, no, the bridge has to be burned. It's only Jesus that is the only bridge that I have with the Father. I don't want anything interfering with my time with him. So we focused on the word. And guess what happened? Oh, it didn't take like time. My husband got revelation of books from Kenneth Hagin, Shambach and all. He started delving into that. Before we knew, we got an understanding. I didn't get, because I learned from him. And that was how we left legalism, and we knew that, look, this thing is it just has to live by faith. All that while we were praying, Father, you know, let the man of God remember my problem and mention it. It was over. We now knew that, look, we have to live by faith. And this faith has to be developed by the word of God, like my beautiful sister was sharing with us in the morning, Ada Irona. So, what are those idols? Those things are eating deep into your time. They are hindering you from receiving revelation and enjoying all that the Father has packaged for you. You must have to say, give him your 100% attention. The Bible said in Colossians 1:18 that in all things he might take the preeminence. He wants him to be the first in everything. That's what God designed for Jesus to be in your life. To be the first. The first in your work. In other words, in everything you're considering him. At home, your leisure time, you're considering him. In your relationships with others, you're considering him. What did he say? How does he want me to respond to this issue? How does he want me to react to this issue? Is it okay if I go there? Is it okay if I do this? You have to walk within the boundaries of what he allows. You go by God's plan. And God's plan is his word. And God's word is God. Just like my word and myself are the same. If I say come, you say Dorothy said come. My word and myself are the same. God and his word are the same. So when you act based on his word, you're acting based on him. And God's power has an inherent, God's words have, it has an inherent power in it to do what it has been destined to do. And the Bible said, whatever you ask according to his will, 1 John 5, 14 and 15, say he hears you. And because You know that he hears you. You know that you have received the petition that you have desired from him. Whatever you ask according to his will. But if you don't know his will, then that's no good. Because God will only confirm his word. And the Bible said he has magnified his word above his name. And he said heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will not pass away. But it is seeking, digging deep to really get to know, receive the revelation of that word so that you will be able to stand on it. Come rain, come sunshine. You will know that you know that you know that the Bible said so. And if God said it, I am standing, I'm sticking my neck on it. Because that is what God will confirm. And when you don't know the word of God, then you talk anyhow. Your speeches will kind of fool you and mess you up. And the Bible said life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it will eat the food therein. You just talk and you say, ah, God healed me. And then the next moment, oh, this thing is paining me. Oh, this thing is killing me. In other words, God, you didn't heal me. And you say all manner of things, think all manner of things about people, about your family members. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Because you don't know what the word said. You grumble and murmur and complain. And the Bible said that the children of Israel, they did that and they were destroyed. So these things are written for your own example so that you don't do these things. It is by fellowshipping with the word of God that you know God's terms and you walk within the confines of his word that you have to make him the first. Make Jesus the first in your life. Amen. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 from verse 21. Let's read it together. Ready, go. And through him, God, from verse 20, ready, go. From verse 20. Okay, let me just read 20 then. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Verse 21 now, let's read. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. 22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. 23. But you must continue to believe this truth, and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Amen? So you see what he's saying? We wandered away, but through the blood of Jesus, as we believe, we've been brought into this place of undeserved, unmerited favor. And then the Bible said that we stand before God blameless and without a single fault. In other words, God accepts us into his presence. And then he said in verse 23, but you must do what? You must continue to believe this truth. You must continue. So it means the progressive thing. You must continue. Which means you must have to keep on fellowshipping with the word of God so that you continue to have that full assurance in your heart that, look, I'm a child of God. Whatever comes, say, no, this is not for me. I'm a child of God. You must continue. That continuity, that's the reason why we come to church. The Bible says we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, as we see the day approaching, so that you keep on hearing and hearing and hearing. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And God has put in the church some as pastors, teachers to help us. Why did God put them? It's for your own good, for my own good, so that as we keep on hearing, our faith will develop deep tap roots, so that no matter what pushes on us, we'll be able to push back. It is not what pushes you that is the problem. Things will keep on pushing on you. It can be sickness, it can be anything. But your response to it, that's the problem. What is your response to it? Do you respond from a knowing that you know in whom you have believed, that you have, you know, he has your back covered? And that the scripture cannot be broken. So long as you stand on his word, he will make his word good. Because his word is yea and amen, and his word is forever settled in heaven. He said, don't drift away from the assurance. And the devil is throwing all manner of things into the world today. All manner of things. All manner of things are showing up over the television, over billboard, or as you go around. We are hearing all manner of things. A lot of those things are geared towards distracting you from focusing on the word so that you will drift away. But it is your choice. He said, but you must. It's not God, you must. It's your God-given responsibility not to allow yourself to be distracted from what the word said, to keep focusing on the word. But you must continue. Do not drift. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility for myself. Amen? And the last verse says, it says, I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. We too have been appointed to proclaim it. If you are born again, if you've given your life to Jesus, you are part of those to stand to proclaim this good news to the world around us, like we said earlier on, that they don't know it at all. We must have to live in the consciousness of the fact that we are children of God and that we are called to represent him here on earth. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14, 15. Okay, the Bible said there that the love of Christ compels us. Let the love of Christ compel you to live for him, to model this life of Christianity for him, to represent him everywhere you find yourself. Anywhere you are, I tell myself that every day as I go to work, once I step into my cubicle, I say, Father, I thank you because I'm here. Jesus is here. And because Jesus is here, this unit is blessed. And this snap office is blessed. And this, I will begin to pronounce blessed. I say, I thank you because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And your favor rests upon the righteous. And so your favors are all over me. And from here, these favors are going out from and it's touching everybody, and everybody around me is being blessed. It is those things I declare that comes to me. Because the Bible said that, you know, that our faith becomes operative as we continue to acknowledge the good thing that he has done for us. You know, Philemon verse 6. I begin to pronounce blessed. I say, I am blessed here. I'm blessed stepping out here. I'm blessed doing this. Whatever I lay my hands upon, it prospers. The favor of God is all over me. I'm favored. And I keep on experiencing that. Praise the Lord. Say, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. And the Bible said that we are the one that lent our voices to the word of God. You know, Psalm 103 verse 20. You have to lend your voice. And the angels of God are waiting. Don't keep them idle by not speaking in line with the word of God, because it's those things that you speak in line with the word of God that they are going to do. They hearken to the voice of his word, but we have to know the word first of all, and then we begin to pronounce it, and they begin to carry it out. But if you're saying the opposite, disciple, they always hate me. They keep on giving me the wrong ones. The demon spirit say, oh, yeah, let's go. Oh, yeah, please give her this, or give her this. As you have spoken into my ear, Numbers chapter 14, 28. What are you saying? We are called to declare. You declare the goodness of the Lord and you begin to experience that goodness. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus said that he's sending us like wolves, but we are sheep. Can you imagine that? Wolves and then sheep. That he said in Matthew 10, 16, that we have to be wary and wise as serpents and be innocent, harmless, guileless, and without falsity as doves. You can only do that by the revelation of the word of God. It has to be by the power of the Spirit of God that you will be able to do that. And he told us in Ephesians chapter 5, 15, 16, let's read that together. Ephesians chapter 5, ready, go. Look carefully then how you walk. Live how? Purposefully. In other words, on purpose. On purpose. On purpose, you live for God. Continue. Live purposely and worthy and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. You buy up each opportunity. All those your time that God has given to you, what is the fruit of that time? At the end of the day, counts how, what are the things that you gain for the kingdom of God? Or are you busy feeding the flesh? If you sow into the spirit, you will reap of the spirit. If you sow into the flesh will rule you. When you eat and eat and eat, it happens to me. When I eat too much, I just feel like I shouldn't go anywhere. I just want to just... But when you feed the spirit man, I remember one of my husband's cousins that was visiting us when we were back there in Nigeria. When you give him food, he will eat a little. That young man is such a fire for the Lord. He said, "Auntie, too much food is the weakness of the flesh." I didn't understand it then. He said, "Too much food is the weakness of the flesh." I said, "But Obi, at least eat a little more." I said, "Auntie, no, this is enough for my body. I have to put my body under. I rule over this body. I tell this body when to eat and when not to eat and how much to eat because I'm in charge." Who is he talking about? Himself that is born again. Because the real you is your spirit that is born again, not this flesh. You're called to rule over this flesh, but you won't be able to rule over this flesh if you're not armed with the word of God. If you don't know who you are in Christ. Praise the Lord. So he said, godly wisdom, where does it come from? It comes from the mouth of God. Proverbs chapter 2, 6 to 9 said, "For the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. He stores away sound wisdom for the righteous." Who are the righteous? If you are born again, you. "He stores away sound wisdom for the righteous, those who are in right standing with him." The righteous are the ones who are in right standing with him, those who are born again. "He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, those of honorable character and moral courage." Who are those? If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are the one he's talking about. Verse 8 says, "He guards the path of justice and he preserves the way of his saints," the believers. "Then you will understand righteousness and justice in every circumstance and integrity and every good path." When you're walking by the wisdom that comes from the mouth of God. And that wisdom, they're all embedded in the word of God. And we have people to help us to understand that. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. And that's why he says you know all things. Because you have the spirit of excellence in you. And Paul encouraged us in Philippians chapter 1 verse 27. He said, "Only be sure as citizens so to conduct yourselves that your manner of life will be worthy of the good news, the gospel of Christ." Remember we said that this gospel is not only in words but in power. People are hungry to see this light because there's so much darkness in this world and we've been called to live as light. And the Bible said that darkness cannot comprehend it. We're not called to live in the light. If I carry light here, it's of no use because there's already enough light here. But it's in the darkness that you'll be able to see the light. So wherever you're planted, no matter what is going on there, see yourself as the light to make a difference in that place. Some people might not want to listen to the word of God, but when they hear your chaste conversation, your life of Christ that is radiating, they can't help but know that there's a difference in this person. And before you know it, they'll begin to be hungry for what you have, and they want to know the Jesus that you have. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23, he said, "I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings." There is blessing for spreading this good news. And Paul said, "I do everything," which means whatever he's doing, there is this consciousness in his mind to make sure that he's representing Jesus Christ very well. Whether in your home as a wife, as a husband, as a child, you have to model this life of Christ. You have to know you are a carrier of God and you have been called to represent him. So that if anyone is weak, God will use you to strengthen them, to show them the right way to go. In your place of work, as you fellowship in your different groups, stand for Jesus, regardless of what other people are doing. Stand to make a difference for Jesus. The world is crying out for light, and we are the ones that have the message. We must have to get it out. Amen? The Bible said that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And they that live by that the Father approves of them, and men approves of them. He didn't say believers, he said men. Everybody loves what is good. Everybody loves to be treated and to be honored. At least you get out there, even if it's a smile. Even if you say, oh, my dear, I love your hair. Encourage people, because a lot of people are so antagonistic. They are so angry, and they are, you know, you don't know their foundation. You don't know their roots. You don't know where they are coming from. But we carry the light. We have to show it out there to the world. And that's why the Bible says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what will happen? Every other thing. God, your Father, will make sure that you get every other thing. We have been called as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christ's representatives wherever we stand, we find ourselves. The challenges that will come, we have to withstand and stand for the word of God. When the enemy tried to topple Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 8. Luke chapter 4, verse 8. Let's read it. Ready, go. And so let's start from verse 6. Sorry, my dear. Verse 6. And he said to him, that's the devil talking to Jesus, to you I will give all this power and authority and their glory, all their magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, and grace. For it has been turned over to me, and I give it to whomever I will. Who turned it over to him? It's Adam. He turned it over to him. Verse 7. Therefore, if you will do homage and worship me, just once, it shall be all be yours. And then verse 8, and Jesus replied to him, get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall do homage to and worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Which means, no matter how he tries to shine the glamours of this world to you, please know that you have the best. If you have Jesus, you have the best. Don't let him deceive you. He's a deceiver. Do not let him. You can only defeat him by the word. The Bible said that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. You are not a match to him, but by the word of God. So that's why it is so crucial that you know what the word said, so that you can continue to shine for Jesus wherever you find yourself. The Bible said we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Like our sister scholar said, shared with us this morning, she began to plead the blood of Jesus. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You must know how to apply the blood of Jesus upon yourself. It is so very crucial, especially in these last days. You must know how to apply the blood of Jesus over yourself. But he said, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, you must have to open up your mouth and say those things that God said concerning you. You don't have to shut up your mouth. Live in the consciousness of the Father. You are the one to enforce the kingdom of God wherever you find yourself. Enforce the kingdom of God upon your life, upon your health, upon your finances, upon whatever it is. The Bible says, thy kingdom, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus came and said, I am here, I came down from heaven to do the will of my Father. And he said that his food is just to do the will of God and to finish it. That's also the reason we've been called. So wherever you are stationed, take charge by the Spirit of Christ that is in you. Stand your ground and stand for Jesus. We sing it in a song, stand up for Jesus. It doesn't mean just standing up like this. It means that when the enemy throws that at you, it is written. Stand on what is written. It could be in your home. It could be with your children. My children shall be taught by the Lord, and grace shall be their peace. It could be your business. On whatever I lay my hands upon, I prosper there. And they push you, say, no, prosperity is my portion. It can't change. The scripture cannot be broken. You stand your ground for Jesus, and you enforce the kingdom of God here on earth, wherever you find yourself. That's wherever you find yourself, you reign. We've been called to reign. The Bible said that we've been made kings and priests to our God, and we reign here on earth. It's not when you get to heaven. You reign here on earth. So things must have to be succumbing to you. No matter what happens, when they're trying to push on you, push back. The Bible says, submit to God. What does it mean to submit to God? Submit to what the word says. In other words, agree with what the word of God said. And then resist. And they push it. No, no, no. The scripture cannot be broken. Resist the devil. And what do you think will happen? He will say, this one know too much. Yo. Let's just leave this pen and go. The Bible said that he roams about seeking whom he may devour. It's not anybody. The Bible says he may, whom he may. It's not everybody that he can devour. It's those that don't know who they are. They don't know they are right. And he said, whom resist how? Steadfast in the faith. What does it mean, steadfast? Steadfast, stand fast on what is written. Stand fast on what the word said. And they push you and push you. No, this is the, and the word said. And the word of God is alive and powerful. And God honors his word. The Bible says he has magnified his word above all his names. Hallelujah. The Bible said, though the giants may be on our way to hinder victory, our victory is what? Guaranteed. Remember the children of Israel? When God said, I've given you a land flowing with milk and honey, and they went to spy out the land, the ten said, this God is a liar. God knew there were giants there. He just wants us to go so that those giants will swallow us. And look at, if you compare us with those giants, we are just like grasshoppers. They opened their mouth too wide. And they were destroyed by what they were saying. Yes, God knew that those giants were there. He made them garnish those beautiful places for them. But God is with them. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Who is that? He's not born. The Bible says you are of God and you have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But if you don't know about the greater one in you, then you will begin to see the devil and your challenge as the greater one and not the God that is in you. And you just make God a liar. I remember the revelation God gave through my husband to us as a church in 2012. He came as a prophet. He said that, he said, you keep asking me like as if I don't have integrity. Act like I have integrity. God is a good God. He's not an infidel. He takes care of his own. And he is the one that said, if you are not able to take care of your own, you're worse than an infidel. Doesn't mean that he's an infidel. He takes care of his own. And he said, if we've been evil, we know how to give good things to our own children. How much more will he, our heavenly father, who here is now better than God, that will not take care of his own? And yet we know how to take care of our children. Praise the Lord. So we must have to wake up. We've been commissioned. The Bible says, called us ambassadors. And I was telling them the meaning of ambassador on Thursday. I read that from, I just hit this and then it came up from my, on my, this thing, the explanation. He said, ambassador is the one, let me just read it. Is the one, because the Bible called us ambassadors in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. He said, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are his representatives. And this is the meaning of ambassador. He said, a minister of the highest rank employed by one prince or state at the court of another. A minister of the highest rank employed by one prince or state at the court of another. So the world is not our own. We are citizens of heaven. We are just passing by. But we are representing Christ here. So we have been called ambassadors of Christ. He said to manage the public concerns of his own prince or state. We are to manage things here to get our brothers and our sisters who are still in darkness to come into light and to take our stand and take care of ourselves by all that the Father has given unto us. He said, and representing the power and dignity of his sovereign. And then he went ahead to say, ambassadors are ordinary when they reside permanently at a foreign court, or extraordinary when they are sent on a special occasion. So if you are just sitting here as a believer, a child of God, But there's no victory. Everything, you just act like your God is dead. There's no victory at all. You are not harnessing the power that is embedded in you. The greater one lives in you, and he promised us 24/7. He will never leave you nor forsake you, but he's just waiting for you to just take. The Bible said that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you ask or think. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 20. According to the power that works in you, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above, according to the power that works in you. What is the power that works in you? It's your faith, to the extent to which you are prepared to take. But he's able to do, he by his spirit that is in you, is able to do whatever you can think or ask or imagine that falls in line with his will. But it has to be, is dependent upon you, according to the extent to which you're prepared to take. And the hand with which you take is your faith. The judge shall live by his faith. And that faith is developed by the word of God. You develop your faith muscles as you keep on fellowshipping with the word of God. He gave us a name that is above every other name. We, the believers, are the only ones that have the right to use the name of Jesus. The Bible said that the name of Jesus has been given above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. And you have that name. At the mention of his name, every knee bows. And we sing it in song here. But when you mention his name and you command, the Bible said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you. When you declare, you must know that the scripture cannot be broken. And it's to the extent to which you believe that you're persuaded, you're fully persuaded like Abraham, that you will stand, even when it looks like it's the other way. You say, hey, no. The scripture cannot be broken. You stand your ground. And he said that these signs shall follow them that believe. It's not signs that, you know, Mark chapter 11, chapter 16. It is not following the pastors. It follows the pastors, yes. It follows who? Let's look at it. Ready, go. And these signs will follow who? Those who believe. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus? These signs are for you. They are for believers. I have experienced it time and time again, where I walk right from Nigeria to over here. Believe that these signs are for you, child of God. And that way, we will not snuff out life from our pastors by everything we are calling the pastors. He said, in the name of Jesus, we cast out devils, we lay hands on the sick, they recover, we shall speak in new tongues. If you are a believer and you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, make sure you pray in the Spirit alone. Don't say, I have that tongue thing. It is for your benefit. Praise the Lord. So, the signs that follow believers are for you. And God gave you this so that you'll be able to help the world around you. Particularly the unbelievers. So that when they are sick and they are around you and you lay your hands on them and they recover, they will know that there's a God in you. And they want to begin to serve that God that you're serving. Amen? And he said, he even promised us that greater works than these we would do, because I go to my Father. Where is Jesus today? At the right hand of the Father. In John chapter 14. He said, greater works than these you would do. Are these things for fun? Are they just written there for decoration? We must wake up and be the Christians that we are called to be. We must have to wake up and stand our ground as believers to take our rightful stand. The world is yearning for the manifestations of the children of God. When they see that what is happening to you is happening to them, how would they know that there's a difference, that you've been set apart? Praise the Lord. We must have to wake up. For the Bible said, if for any reason anyone is sick among you, which means he doesn't expect anyone to be sick among the believers, because he gave us good health. If for any reason anyone is sick, what did he tell us to do? In James chapter 5, verse 14, he said we should call for the elders of the church. He didn't say call the pastors. Yes, pastor is also one of the elders. We have so many elders here. We have so many heads of ministries. You call for the elders. That's why we have house fellowships, so that in your community you must have somebody. He said, call for the elders of the church. He said, let them do what? Pray over him. Let's read it. James chapter 5, 14. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And he began to give us about the example with Elijah. He's not even born again. But this man prayed for rain not to fall. For 3 years and a half, it didn't fall. And again, when it was time, he prayed again and rain fell. So if anyone is sick, because that if for any reason, call for the elders of the church. I remember the one we newly got, gave our life to Christ. If anybody is sick in my house, my husband will say, bring him here. Right there in our living room, he will begin to take authority. When he learned this truth, when we newly got born again, we will usually go, after service, we'll wait for the prayer warriors. But when he got to know this truth, oh my goodness. Once anybody is sick in our living room, he's settled there. That's our God-given right as children of God, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You say, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And again, to heal, maybe there is sin. He said, confess your sin one to another, you may be healed. That again is a way to bring healing. And besides, in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible said there that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you 24/7. He said, quickening your mortal bodies. That power is in your spirit, that is joint spirit with the Lord. Quickening your mortal bodies and supplying life to every dead area. If anything that comes on me, whilst I lay down and say, thank you, Father, there's a power. I say, oh, it's working. Boom, boom, boom. Every part of my body is going round. And it doesn't take time. All those things fizzle out. Praise the Lord. We must be the Christians that we've been called to be. The Bible has, you say, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loose in heaven. That is I think it's Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 16, 18. I give you power. He gave you. He won't be saying he gave you if he didn't give you. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. The Bible says, for this cause was the Son of God made manifest, to destroy the works of Satan. And when he finished, he handed the baton over to you and I to continue to destroy the works of Satan wherever we find ourselves. It's our responsibility today. Let us wake up and take charge so that we will be of tremendous help, not only to ourselves, to our family members, but to the world around us. I want us to read this this last scripture. Let's open to, let's read together Jude chapter 1. 17 to 23. Jude 1, 17 to 23. Let's read it together. We're going to read it together. Ready, go. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions which were made by the apostles, the special messengers of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. They told you beforehand, in the last days, in the end time, there will be scoffers who seek to gratify their own ungodly desires, following after their own ungodly passions. Do we have them around us? Those of us that went out yesterday, we saw a lot of that. Let's continue. It is these who are agitators, setting up distinctions and causing divisions, merely sensual creatures, carnal, worldly-minded people, devoid of the Holy Spirit, and destitute of any spiritual life, because they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them. Verse 20, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. That means you must have to pray in the Spirit a lot as a believer. Fan the flame, fan the flame. Continue. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto life eternal. And refute so as to convict some who dispute with you, and on some have mercy who waver and doubt. 23. Strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. On others take pity, but with fear, loathing even the garments spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. Amen. We must be busy building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with the Word of God, living this life of Christ to help the world around us. If you watch that your brother is weak, please let's help such ones. Pray for them. Know that they might have been deceived by the enemy. And the world around us, they don't have the Spirit in them. We have been called to help them. You must keep yourself in the love of God. There's this wind of doctrine going on out there, and a lot of people are being deceived. You must stand your ground to make sure that you're rooted and built up in the real, unadulterated Word of God, so that you yourself will continue to stand your ground, to live for Christ until He calls you home or He comes to take us home. Amen? Shall we all rise?